Before we get started, I want to say a big thank you to everyone who has stepped in through our Patreon site to support what Skirmish Play does, to kind of help our mission out, to help us do some unique things. That's made it possible for us to upgrade some of our equipment this year. We're really excited to take it out there. We did that over the summer, to take it out there, make some things happen this fall, some kind of unique things. And you guys with Patreon have really made that possible. We hope more folks will jump on board with us. Come on and support us. You can check it out at patreon.com/skirmishplay. Definitely want to, you know, to have anybody who is, you know, excited about what we're doing over here, excited about our mission, to jump in and come out and support us. So that's definitely a critical part of what we do. So thanks a lot, and enjoy the podcast. This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Skirmish Play podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades, and with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate. We're deep into basketball season at this point. We've gotten through the holiday tournament slate. A lot of teams had really impressive holiday breaks, and we want to do it a little differently this time around, though, and we want to start with three players so far that are names that we haven't talked about a lot in the past, but that have really impressed. And, you know, just after watching them play Almar and losing in sort of dramatic fashion, I want to talk a little bit about Nick Reese from Stab. And this is a guy who can play. He's very bouncy, really moves well, just a really impressive performance. And I think when he's clicking, I think that you're not going to see huge numbers from anyone in particular on this Stab team, because they're very equal opportunity. It's five guys who are around 6 feet, who can all play. They all rebound. And they like to play really fast. They like to move the ball around. They kind of whip it around and play well. But Nick Reese is the kind of guy that when he's on, can make it really tough, because he's just playing in the system. He's not really working outside it. He doesn't need anything else to sort of get his shots. They don't have to run anything in particular for him, it doesn't seem like to me. And he had 23 against West Potomac in the Holiday Classic tournament. Then he had 18 against Almar. It's just fun to see some of these guys who are stepping up in different ways and kind of coming up big, because we have so many. We lost so many players from last year. To see these guys like Nick Reese stepping up, it's really exciting. And he just had a really big holiday tournament.
Yeah, and they needed the depth at guard. I mean, that was a good team already with Dalton Ford and Nick Kent. Adding Reese at guard there helps make up when you lose a Matt Palumbo, a guy who delivered a lot of daggers. We're seeing St. Anne's go from where 2 years ago, and it was Javon Delorier, and you know they had a lot of long bodies on those teams. Jalen Harrison and those guys. So this is a guard heavy team, and it allows them to look a little bit more like CHS. A lot of pressure. I mean, Brian Kent, that's where he went and played school.
Yeah.
Played at high school wise. I mean, he can sort of adapt from that team, that style of play, and just constant pressure. And I think, Reese excelling early on for them, that means a lot when you're leaning on Nick Kent, a captain, and leaning on, other guys around the.
Yeah. Dalton Taylor's played really well.
Dalton Taylor, yep.
He's played really well.
Logan Brady.
There's a lot of guys who are stepping up for this squad in a big way. And Nick Kent is just a relentless rebounder, as a guard.
He's like a 10-year starter. He was playing like school.
Yeah, he's been around. He's been around for sure. And it's fun to see just what they've put together. It's a program that's that keeps kind of reinventing and changing, and they adjust really well to the personnel.
And they got a lot of experience. Last year, that team was fresh. That was a pretty green team, a lot of kids getting thrown in there for the first time.
Messiah Woods was very young. I mean, a lot of guys were young.
And so it was just such a different scene for them, and I think they did a really good job of soaking that all up, making the transition in the offseason into this season, and just sort of coming out and running, and a much improved team for a program that we're used to seeing play at a pretty high level.
Yeah, they're going to play really well. I think it's going to be fun. They're going to be kind of a unique challenge for teams in the prep league. I mean, they're going to run, they're going to push the pace, and I think it's the prep league is so tough. We know what kind of athletes are over there, they're going to be kind of a unique challenge, I think. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Another player that has really stepped up and played really well for a vastly improved program is AJ Gregory out at Fluvanna. Last year at this point, Fluvanna was 0-10, and this year they are 4-6, and that is just light years improvement over what they were kind of doing last year. You know, they're starting to learn how to win. They're starting to learn how to close games. They're clearly improving week to week. They lost to William Monroe one week, then they came back in their holiday bash to win. So Fluvanna is clearly making some strides. And I think some of it starts with AJ Gregory. You know, I think he's playing much better this year. He had 17-10 against Bruton. That's a pretty darn good performance. I think when he's engaged, when they've got him kind of flowing and things are working and things are positive, which clearly second year coach Jason Davis has gone out of his way to like make things very positive, then they tend to get better. And they're not winning real pretty. They're winning, you know, in the 50s or the 40s. You know, they're not scoring a ton of points, but Gregory gives them an offensive option that can kind of create his own shot, that can make some things happen. And this is still a really young Fluvanna team, and to have someone like Gregory who can help them and kind of do some things right is big. And I think that if he continues to improve as a player, that's going to make them a little bit tougher out as the Jefferson District kind of moves on.
Yeah, I mean, Fluvanna's got 7 sophomores on their roster right now. And you know, that's an improvement kind of from last year. I mean, that team's
like
so young.
Yeah,
7 freshmen on the roster last year. But yeah, you know, in what you're looking from for Gregory is senior leadership. And you know, that's a relatively young team, but you got him, you got Michigan Reed, you got Caden Koslowski and all those guys, DeSean Carter.
Carter is really fast. He plays really fast, and he's a lot of fun. I think when he's going, he kind of changes who they are a little bit. Carter's a lot of fun to watch, too.
And then, Brandon Linton and Andrew Pace as juniors. If the senior class there, if they can do their jobs, and, you know, Gregory can continue to have big games, and then just sometimes you don't even have to be much more than a role player. A sophomore will come in and provide a nice little spark. It doesn't take a whole lot to get the wheel spinning. And you do it with depth, especially when you're trying to build the program back up. Because when Davis sort of comes in, it's just like the cupboard has been cleared.
Yeah.
So there's been so much over the last 2 or 3 years that Fluvanna's had to sort of endure from graduation. But good for them. I mean, it's good to see a team like that not fall back into what they were struggling with last year. To see progress from a group that's always positive.
No question. Over on the girls' side, a player that, you know, we couldn't have talked about until this year because she was in 8th grade last year. Haley Morris, the freshman over at William Monroe. A lot of, you know, new faces for this William Monroe team, but Morris gives them the first, I don't know, I think you could probably argue she's the first true point guard that Sam Brudel has gotten a chance to play with that hasn't gotten hurt. They've had some injuries at that spot.
Yeah.
I think she's the one, she's sort of focused on that. She knows what her role is, and I think that's what's really been neat to watch, is that there wasn't a huge acclimation period. I think that, like, I saw a couple of spots early where she sort of panicked and freaked out a little bit, but that has, like, gone away. She is great with the ball late. She knows how to burn a clock. She's very patient. She doesn't sort of freak out about anything. And now she's starting to hit some shots and starting to light it up from beyond the three-point line. In the holiday tournament, in the semifinals, she hit 4 threes, 12 points against Western Albemarle. And then in the final, she had 17 points, including 3 three-pointers. I mean, if she's knocking down shots, that hopefully is going to pull. I don't know how you ever just like, it's not like you're going to stop guarding Sam Brunell, but that hopefully at least makes some other players think twice and they've got to come and close out on her. That maybe could open things up for Sam Brunell. And Morris is good enough ball handler that if they do jump out on her, she can put the ball on the floor and find someone else or take it to the hole. She's a pretty darn good little player.
Yeah, and I think the key at sort of the guard position for Moreau is having confidence in the ball handling.
Yeah.
Somebody who's not afraid of a press, somebody who's not going to just, you know, sort of pick up a ball and wind up in a trap out of nowhere.
And she doesn't. She doesn't freak out.
I mean, you mentioned earlier Brunell not having really the opportunity. I mean, when Michaela Morris goes down a couple years ago with the ACL, you know, that was sort of their chance. And they really had to sort of improvise after that. And it's nice to see them.
A lot of it was Sam having to play the point.
And now with Morris excelling as a freshman, I mean, it's just it's a great opportunity for this team to grow. And then think about the development that she's going to go through in this season and next season. Monroe's got some talent, and there are no seniors on the roster, so but, you know, they're going to be back, and this is a really important year for them.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think this is the kind of year that maybe they're going to put things together a little bit, and I think that's what. And I think some of that is just that Morris is like sort of. Yeah, she's developed, and I think it's been really quick. She acclimated to the varsity game really quick, but she's largely a ready-made point guard in sort of that Melanie Lamb role, you know, that that mold from a few years ago when they won the Jefferson District. And I think
it was 2009.
Yeah, 2009. And so I think that if she's that kind of player, like that's one really important piece to the puzzle. So give me a lot of fun to watch. We also three teams that have sort of impressed right here early in the season, and I think that just with all that they lost, you got to talk about how well the Almar boys are playing right now. It's pretty darn impressive.
So I think that with Almar, sort of the story underneath the story there is that they really lost so many seniors 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That all these guys had to step up a little bit last year, but we're just sort of overshadowed by Jake.
So you're talking Austin Adams Kansas. Yates, Miles Adams Yates.
Yeah.
A couple years ago. Grant Kersey.
Grant Kersey, big 3-point shooter. I mean, there was a lot of seniors on that team. And so there was a bunch of young kids filling in those roles. I mean, Jaquan Anderson took huge steps forward last year, but you had Niall Arnold, Cartier Key, and all these guys chipping in, Max Jarman. And they are now
Keyshawn Allen too, man. Just a lot of guys.
It's their team now, and they are not shying away from it at all. And this is obviously a very different looking team stylistically.
You lose Castro and Hahn, you're going to be different.
I mean, they don't have the height that they did last year, so they're not playing quite as slow on some levels. They're playing a faster brand of basketball, and it's always fun to watch that sort of play out. And we're seeing teams, even big teams like Louisa that has a height advantage, that pressure, it sort of adds up. They've just been rolling. They've had some close calls, but you know, handling everybody in the tournament. I mean, beating St. Anne's, a team that you really
rallying have from way down.
And a team that you have no familiarity against. I mean, they're used to lining up against like Western on the other side of that holiday bracket kind of thing.
Yeah, I think and that's what was cool too to watch was, you know, a guy like Messiah Woods that plays for Stab is grown up playing AAU ball against him with a lot of the Almar guys. So like you said, like there's not a lot of team familiarity, but there was some individual familiarity. Yeah. And they took advantage of that. And I think just the Almar boys in general, it's just a different look, a different approach, but they're really darn good.
I think it's an eager group of seniors. This is their team, and it's their brand. They want to establish.
They play it with a little bit of chip on their shoulder.
Yep, and they are. They're an aggressive team. They're a confident team, and you know, until somebody knocks them down, I think they're going to continue to be that.
Yeah, and I think the team that might be the team that when they get a second shot at them does knock them down because it was a great game the first time around, the Louisa boys. And the Louisa boys are going to be one of those teams that by the end of the year looks drastically different. They did win the Cyclone Classic against a pretty good Eastern View team. They won the championship up there. But it's a team that so many good athletes, so much depth. I think it's about finding that right sort of piece, but they've gotten off to a pretty good start with a very short, you know, window of time to kind of pull it together because of the deep run by the football team. But a lot of those football guys are starting to get into basketball shape. They're starting to get it spinning a little bit, and it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun for Louisa this year.
I mean, they played Albemarle and Western out of the gate for their Jefferson District teams, and we have a pretty good sense of how those programs are year in, year out. And they looked really good against both. You know, close loss to Albemarle, and they're missing some guys for that one. And then they beat Western, and then they're missing some different guys in that one. And they won that one narrowly and sort of fundamentally on defense and knocking down free throws. You look at that team, and they're just – they have a deep bench. They can roll in five guys at a time, sub them out, another five come through, and they're long and in shape. I mean, Malik Bell might not be the tallest guy in basketball, but – nobody's running through him.
That's right.
You know, he's a
Joe
big
Whalen kid. Either. You're not running yeah. through Joe either.
So these kids, they're strong. This Louisa team is physical.
Yeah.
And you're going to really have to fight hard. You're not going to get a lot of defensive rebounds off this team.
Yeah, they got a 6'7 guy roaming around.
Yeah,
there.
Carlton Williams. And yeah. they're really putting a lot of sort of offensive pressure on him to come through and hope for them. You know, for him to be a leader there. But you got Jared Hunter, you got Chris Stepp, Malik Bell. Brandon Smith is a different kind of basketball player than you're used to seeing. I mean, that is a level of athleticism.
He's a different kind of athlete.
Yep. And it translates to the basketball court. So, he's going to be good, and he's been dealing with some injuries. So, Louisa.
Malachi, Poindexter.
Yep, absolutely.
There's just a lot of guys, and I think they're finding the right.
Raekwon Jones. I mean, some of these names we've covered in the fall. But yeah, it's a really cool team early on, and we'll see if they can keep this rolling. I mean, I think they played like 7 or 8 games in just 2 weeks. You know, wow. Everybody else is playing 2 games a week, and these guys just came out. You know, it took them a week for them to sort of get practicing, and you know, they rescheduled some games. They might find themselves in a sticky situation if we get some snow days here, where at the end of the season they're playing, you know, 4 games a week, because you have to reshuffle things after that. Hopefully that's not the case, but yeah, a team that I think we saw a lot of strides taken last year. You know, they performed really well, got themselves into the JD tournament, that top 4 of the bracket, and now it looks like they're here to stay. And you know, I mean, Charlottesville against Louisa, I don't know who wins in that one. And that's not something you could say in years past.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, same with Louisa Western. You don't know who's going to win in that one. The second round with Albemarle, it's going to be a good one. And Greg Mander, he was very diplomatic. That was sort of his opening statement out. He's like, I wonder what that team's going to look like next time we see them. Because, you know, he knew that they had only gotten a little bit of practice and that they're a little nicked up. And
yeah. So, Robert Shelton doing a really nice job out there. That's... You know, one guy I know that he could call for sure is Preston Gordon at Goochland, who used to be Louisa's coach. And, you know, if you go all the way back to like Kareem Martin when he was coaching at Monticello, you just knew there was going to be a deep playoff run every single year in football. That changes what you do as a basketball coach sometimes, and it certainly impacts your early season. Guys at Buckingham, Russ Gowan, and now Taylor Boyers, know what that is like. And I think when you were at a smaller school or at a school that has a lot of athletes that play both, it's going to change what you do. And I think you got to give it up. He's got them spinning really early.
Yeah. And I mean, he had experience with that when he was at Monticello previously. Sure. So, I mean, I think it's definitely cool to see how quick the transition has been made. And let's just hope that they stay healthy and they keep it going, because that's a fun team to watch right now. And the more depth we have, the more teams chasing Albemarle that we have, the more entertaining the product's going to be.
No question about it. So the Fluvanna girls are another team that I wouldn't say is surprised by any means, but has impressed. They have made a solid step forward. From last year, they were playing a lot of freshmen, and this year they've got it clicking again. They kind of stumbled a little bit out of the gate, but now they've got a win against Western. They've got a win against Bruton and Buckingham in their holiday tournament. They've been playing some really good basketball of late. They challenged William Monroe. The Western win on the road was a really big one, or the Western win. That was just a big victory. No question about it. So it's Fluvanna girls. And I think it starts with this. It's again youth. I mean, Destiny Monroe has showed up as a freshman. Nevaeh Ivory, who is so good defensively and can really score and kind of get out in transition, she can make some things happen. Jamika Johnson is a senior that's actually playing pretty well for him right now. Maya Wright's been putting in some really good minutes. Jules Shepherd has played really, really well. And Kaya Scott is the other sophomore. A lot of these girls were freshmen last year and were really kind of thrown into the fire, and that seems to be paying off for them right now. The Fluvanna girls just kind of have things rolling a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, they were a team that was just so young and sort of overperformed last year in some ways.
Yeah, yeah.
Really good job getting a home win in their conference. I know that meant a lot for those younger players. And, you know, that, there were some seniors on that group. They're gone. Now this team is, I think you could almost say it's not quite as young because they're not a freshman-laden squad the way they were last year. But it's got just like a little more pop to it, I guess, is the way you look at it. But, yeah, I mean, Fluvanna Girls, Western, Charlottesville, Albemarle, they're all sort of in the same boat of rebuilding. I mean, the girls' side was just as hard hit as the boys' side by graduation. And so it's anybody's game.
No question.
I mean, I don't think there's any team that you could really circle as this is the massive front runner. And so why can't Fluvanna come out and take down a Western that's played, you know, really well early on? So why can't they do that?
Yeah.
There's no real reason for it. And I think we're going to see a lot more parity on the girl side of things where
anybody can beat anybody.
Yeah, any given Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yeah, whatever. I think it's been that way. I mean, like, you know, especially in that top half of the district, it's always been it's a tough place to get a win every single night. And it's also there are a lot of good coaches in that district that know what they're doing. They can take care of business. You know, even, you know, a team like Orange that like is down, it looks like right now, it hasn't played, you know, I think it has a couple of wins, but you still got to face, you know, Dave Raby who knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's just a very tough girls basketball district.
There's a lot of continuity in the coaching. I mean, Monticello really sort of had to make a change late there. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
he's been around.
I think that makes a huge difference.
Have been around. Rachel Proudfoot's been around.
All these girls have played in the JV system, mm-hmm. And so they know what to expect when they come up to varsity. And I think that's why you see a lot of the younger players excel early on in their careers, and that's huge for them. The only team that really like sort of had to really two teams, Charlottesville and Louisa, they've been the front two the last two or three years. And then this year, they're sort of revamped entirely. Charlottesville doesn't really matter to them. They do that every year. But and then Louisa, you know, sort of a little bit different story over there. But, yeah, so I mean, everybody's sort of in that sort of equal playing ground. And I think that familiarity coaching provides the extra edge when, you know, the teams can all beat each other. What might be the difference? Well, I mean, a coach that's comfortable with this team, they know everybody, they know what to expect from everybody. You're not going to see a lot of surprises there. I think that makes a huge difference.
So that gives you some idea of what we've learned over this last month and a half. And I think that we've still got a lot to learn, and this is always sort of a turning point in the season. A lot of times you get into sort of the meat of the district schedule, and it's sort of downhill until the postseason. So it's going to be fun to watch what teams are kind of able to build up some speed and kind of get things going. We do have an award, the CNG Smooth Operator of the Week, and it's got to go to Jaquan Anderson over at Almar. Really incredible holiday tournament he put together. There was a moment in the stab game where it looked like Albemarle was done, and then Jaquan Anderson put him on his back. He really kind of took the game over and just kind of bore down. He opened that tournament with 27 points and 6 assists against Massaponix. Had 15 against Charlottesville. That was the down game of the 3-game stretch, because against Stab in the championship game, 28 points, 7 boards, 4 assists. He was good at the line. He was aggressive taking the ball to the rack. He set other people up. He just, when he gets determined, he's one of those athletes that can do some special things.
Yeah, he's got an extra gear, is the way I describe it. There's just a hustle to his game that sort of creates so much, especially defensively, what he can do, and just, boom, you're on a fast break. He can finish. He's really strong, so he doesn't shy away from physicality underneath the boards. He's just a fun player to watch, and when he's playing well with confidence, I mean, you can tell the other guys rally around him. They get fired up.
He doesn't have to say much either. It's just sense that mode.
There's an intensity to his game. Yeah. I mean, you see guys like that when they're just sort of out there performing. They don't have to talk, yell, and scream to get everybody hyped up. You can do it through your actions. And I think his style of play, when it's on its top level, it gets the bench fired up. It gets the other four around him. All right, what am I going to do to chip in here?
Yeah, and that's what you get. Max Jarman, we talked about him a little bit earlier, but he hits that game winner in part because Stab was way locked in on Jaquan Anderson and trying to figure out a way to stop him, and they had to throw something at him, and then Jarman was able to catch the ball and run and kind of outrun the press. So Anderson, even when he doesn't have the ball in his hands, he's impacting things, especially when he's just kind of gotten into this sort of killer mode. I mean, then it just becomes he becomes very, very tough to contain. We've seen him do it in football. We've seen him do it in basketball.
Yeah, he's
a fun guy to watch.
Yeah, he's agile.
agile, determined, dynamic. He's kind of all those things. So we will be checking in next week. We're going to do a podcast about swimming. We're going to get a chance to see the Ben Hare meet next week. And I'm really excited about kind of getting that season kind of really gets underway once that meet happens. So certainly check it out. We got a lot of stuff from over the holidays, a ton of these performances in a little more detail. And we really appreciate you listening, and we hope you'll be back with us next week.